So, but once those pads come on, Tevin Jenkins is a son of a bitch.
Kieran. Oh, that was good. The Bears offense is just like Tony's Wi-Fi, which is struggling.
I wake up, flex, I'm down now, check, no drip, this, wet,
the most uncool dancer I've ever met.
Well, oh my god. Well, lads, how are we doing? We are back here today, and it's actually been a chaotic couple of days. And with his water, I think, with strawberries,
Loca.
It looks like.
Loca!
Fair enough. Well, we are here. We are going to be talking about our kind of Bears mock off season. There's lots of things happening because the combine has begun this week. Obviously, I don't think there's any on-field drills that start until tomorrow. So really all it is prospects coming into Indy and us hearing all the rumors, and it kind of gets interesting because we know that the busiest person at the combine is Ryan Poles right now. So we're going to be here to talk about kind of our ideal mock off season. We're going to have some people that are going to come on as well at the end of the show. This is our first fan zone show where we allow you guys to kind of come on, have your say, and we'll see kind of what you come up with. Again, if you want to come on, you just need to DM us over on Irish Bear Show over on Twitter. But we're going to start off with our mock off season before we get the lads on. And I think there's no better place to start this than the quarterback position, because over the last kind of 24, 48 hours, I think we got to hear from Ryan Poles, we got to hear from Matt Eberflus, and it's going to be an interesting kind of scenario on what's going to come out of this, because we're either going to hear the rumblings of a trade for Justin Fields, there's going to be rumblings around the first overall pick, and I guess the hope for a lot of Bears fans is that by the end of the combine there's a bit more clarity in what this team is going to do moving forward, so then people can stop kind of killing each other the whole time and just there's a direction and that's the way it's going. But that's where we're going to start this in terms of our mock off season. I think the quarterback position is the most important thing. So look, Ant, I'll start with you. We've heard from Ryan Poles, we've heard from Matt Eberflus, we've heard from a lot of the insiders. It looks like it's likely that Justin Fields will get traded at this point in time, and it's just what will he be able to get back? And then it just becomes who the Bears will replace him with. And I think what Ian Rappaport said today was if they're comfortable with the person, then it's probably going to be Caleb Williams. But again, he's meeting with the Bears this evening, so it's going to be interesting. But from you listening to everything that's going on in terms of your kind of mock offseason, what are you wanting the Bears to kind of finish this offseason with at the quarterback position?
Yeah, I think right now it's pretty obvious that the meeting that's happening in the next couple of hours, obviously don't know what time that is, but that meeting that's going to happen in the next couple of hours between Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears is going to make a massive situation regarding who's going to be our quarterback next year. Because if Caleb Williams goes in there and says something madly insane, like, I do not want to play in Chicago, I hate you all, I want to play in Washington, that's been my dream all my life, that's probably the only way he's not the quarterback of the Chicago Bears next year. At the moment, the way everything's looking, you listened to Ryan Poles' interview yesterday, and what was really striking about it wasn't necessarily for me about how he was different to last year, even though there was a massive difference. It was how he answered the question around the comparison with Mahomes. And he answered that in a way that was very much, he gave a lot away, actually. He almost said, yeah, there was a lot of similarities between Patrick Mahomes and him, remembering that Ryan Poles was in the room and Patrick Mahomes was taken. So I think there's a lot of movement towards that. And then for Justin Fields, look, everyone knows I'm on the show. I'm a big Justin Fields supporter. I think he's going to do really well wherever he goes. I think he's been very good for the Chicago Bears in the sense of, for me as a fan, I got to enjoy some fantastic moments with him. Some of the stuff he's done on the field. could he have done better? Of course he could have. I'm not naive enough to think that. But there's some moments that he's given me which gave me just sheer unbelievable enjoyment. And for that perspective, I thank him for that. What I find hilarious is that we now need to go and get the best amount of value for him. I hear people talking about, oh, they'll get him for we can get what we want. No, I think you can get a high value for him. You just listen to Rappaport say what you're going to say. And you want to get two or three teams involved. And that's probably the big thing now, that we try and get those conversations started, that we try and get them done. I think it's really important we get it done in the next 7 days, 5 to 7 days. I think we really need to get it done quickly before free agency starts, because we don't want to have a scenario where it's going into free agency and suddenly teams are going to Bears, well, do you know what? We might go to Russell Wilson instead, or we might go to this other free agent instead. Do you know what? We know you're going to take a quarterback at this stage. So the value is now down on third, fourth. I think you get your best value in the next couple of days. So I think that's what's probably end up going to happen. And that's the movement I feel is going to go towards the Bears.
And same thing for you, Tony. We got some of the quotes from Caleb Williams today. Obviously, he's been trained up by whoever is. I know he doesn't technically have an agent yet, I don't think. But whoever is representing him has kind of helped him in terms of, this is what you need to say to the media. And then the second one will then be, when he does meet the Bears later on, all he really needs to do is come across as, this is where he wants to be, that there's no red flags that can come up. Because if that's the case, it seems a fairly simple solution of what's going to happen here, that he should be the number one pick in the draft. And really, the only way he won't be the number one pick in the draft is if he puts his foot in it in some of these interviews.
Yeah, and I think he's old da is basically he's manager, he's an official manager at the moment. So yeah. You'll be, and you know what it's like. You always listen to your dad, you know. So, so he's gonna be in his ear. You know, it's been a foregone conclusion for me for weeks that this has been the case. To be honest with you, I mean, you only had to listen to Ryan Poles yesterday. You know, that wasn't a man who was talking like he was going to keep a hold of Justin Fields. You know, the wording, the tone, the delivery of that press conference yesterday was very, very different to the one from last year. When at the time, and we all thought this, Justin Fields is still going to be the guy. I thought that as well. I was very optimistic about it. Obviously, he's not seen enough in the last 12 months to kind of back that up. So it's very different now. Yeah, I mean, Caleb Williams, the whole thing with him, not wanting to be here. I mean, that's cold water's been thrown on that already. It's, you know, he's come out and said this. There's a lot of shite. You know, I'm happy to be there, sort of thing. He's not going to pull an Eli Manning on draft day. So yeah, I mean, to be honest, this guy has been in the limelight for so long. You know, and he put his thing out saying that he's not a businessman. He is a businessman. You know, he is the business sort of thing. So this guy knows what he's talking about. He knows how to approach things. And to be honest, unless there's any gas mask videos released, he should probably be all right. But yeah, and to be honest with you, I know, Ant, you're saying it might happen in the next 5 to 7 days. I think it might happen in the next 5 to 7 hours. I think it's something that could happen quite quickly. You know, they've already had, you know, some sort of contact with Williams before now. They're always having a sit down with him more officially now. They know what he does on the field by looking at his play. I think they'll be able to make a decision quite quickly in what they're doing moving forward. And I expect a trade to happen sooner rather than later. And in terms of the teams that will be involved in that, I think everyone's seen the Atlanta Falcons are probably going to be the hot favourites currently. But there's a couple of teams in there that might also want to get in it. But I think the Falcons, maybe Denver, Pittsburgh Steelers are a big one as well, though. Like, he was fitting into that system tremendously, so it'd be a good fit for him. But maybe he wants to go to the hometown team. And, you know, Ryan Poles has always done well past him. He's always, you know, told him like it is, straight up, you know. And I think he's going to be fair to him. If he wants to go to Atlanta, if the deal's good, you know, if it's good for the team, he'll probably make that happen. So, yeah, all the best and all that, you know, but we move on and we try again at quarterback, and hopefully, you know, Caleb Williams or whoever it is that we take is that guy. You know, we can only just keep swinging at it until we get it right. And here we are again. So, but, you know, we will come on to it. Williams is coming in a much better situation than the Fields ever come into. So he's got that going for him right away. And fingers crossed, you know, come this time next year, we're not talking about looking for quarterbacks again.
Yeah, look, that's the most important thing here is that, look, in terms of for Fields, he was in the unfortunate position that he, like a lot of the other quarterbacks that have come into this team previously, that they haven't been put in a position to succeed. But I think a quarterback that can come in now is coming into a better situation. You're coming into a situation where this team should be on the rise, where you already have some really good pieces on defense. You have some pieces on offense, like DJ Moore, like Cole Kmet, for example. But then the issue is always just going to be, can you protect the quarterback? We saw that there's components of the offensive line we really like, but there's also quite a lot to be done there as well. So I think what's important now for Poles, and I think what was noteworthy is that we've heard from insiders saying that there's been contact with the Bears for Justin Fields. Poles has already said that his phone is kind of ringing off the hook between people checking in on Justin and for the number one overall pick. And that's just going to continue as all these guys are together, because you've all the GMs talking, you have the different scouts that are going to talk, the different front offices will, the agents are going to be there, because we think that this week is solely about the number one pick and Justin Fields and the draft picks. No, they're doing their work on free agents as well this week. I know they can't officially do it, but they kind of put it out there to see who they think actually might hit free agency. And then also kind of where the kind of numbers are for maybe some of the guys that they think will hit free agency, so that they know kind of when they're trying to plan this going forward. But look, I think the tea leaves are kind of out there. Like one of our kind of friends of the show, Josh Rock from NBC Sports Chicago, said it yesterday, or he wrote yesterday, that the Atlanta Falcons are kind of aggressive and they've already reached out to the Bears. And I'd be surprised if something doesn't kind of happen there. I think they're probably the most likely kind of team, because it's a team that I don't think Justin would be opposed to going to, because he gets to go home to Atlanta. They have some good pieces there. They have kind of the parts of the capital you'd want, even if you wanted to swap kind of first round picks, which I know it's only one spot, but still that could be a big thing between getting the wide receiver, edge rusher, tackle that you may want and them getting it. So I think that's a really important issue there, that I think all this week will be is Poles confirming if they're happy with Caleb Williams, the guy. If they are, well, then I think they can probably go full steam ahead and trade Justin Fields. And look, we're saying this as we're talking about the information that's currently out there, right? Like everybody that's reliable has kind of said that this is the most likely scenario. And I think that's the way it's probably going to go. And
Can I just make one point, right? Because it's just something that I want to say. I just saw this in the chat from Lord Crimson. First of all, Lord T, thanks very much for getting involved, man. You're always pretty good at getting involved. You're always coming to the show. So we always talk about, we want to get everyone's point of view on this. We want to get everyone's thought process on this. Everyone knows that watches this show knows that I am the biggest Justin Fields fan out there. I was desperate for Justin Fields to be the quarterback for this football club going forward. I was trying to come up with trade ideas that would get us loads of picks, and Tony was the one screaming at me, calling me everything under the sun. He wanted to go with Caleb. That's wrong what you said there, Lord Crimson. I'm sorry, man, it is. If there's a scenario where you didn't listen to the press conference and didn't hear the tone that Ryan Poles was going with, where he was basically talking about doing right by Justin Fields, making sure that it was the right thing to do for the guy, how much he loved the guy, how much that when he was asked about making a step forward, he didn't do anything about the play. It was all about him as a growth, as a human. I'm sorry, man. For me, that was the nail in the coffin when he was talking about that. And if you didn't get it with that, for me, the bigger one was when he started comparing Caleb Williams to Mahomes and let that comparison be there and answered on that comparison. I just mentioned that because, Laura C, you're always in the show and I want you to get as much input. And maybe you might think completely different and that's fine, but I think it's important that we get both sides and we get people allowed to have their opinion on it as well. Sorry.
Just on that as well, though, the whole comparison to Pat Mahomes. I mean, I've been saying in this, like, there are similarities. Other people have been saying there are similarities, but it's been rubbished. But now Ryan Poles has come out and said there are similarities. People are like, oh, well, maybe there are similarities. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's like, why does it take to get to that stage where he has
no, 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 sorry, like, what I'm Oh, no, what I meant, but I don't pretend
to agree. I'm not having to go. You're having to be a comment on it.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I'm just saying right. It's interesting that the person making the decision, who also was in the room when Patrick Mahomes was picked, allowed that quote to be said, and he answered on that quote. That's what I meant. Yeah. I didn't mean that I agreed with that. I mean, that's what he's the guy making the decision, and he's including that in the conversation.
I'm just reflecting on the general response to you know, because there are, and the fact that, you as you say, that's the big thing for it. It's the guy that was in the room during the whole scouting process of Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying that Caleb Williams is going to be Patrick Mahomes. All I'm saying is there are really fucking big similarities. You know, the actual draft profile themselves, I mean, they are very similar. It's hard to see past it. But wait and see what happens. But when you get it straight from the horse's mouth, you get it straight from a guy who has been in both of those rooms, it's an interesting thing. And I have noticed that people are changing their sort of mind on that a little bit, which is just an observation I wanted to point out. Very quick question on this as well, though. This trade for Justin Fields, guys. What would you think is an acceptable trade from Atlanta? Say it's Atlanta that are making the trade. What would you accept as a decent conversation?
Right. The first things first. I have to include an 8 for 9. That has to be involved in the conversation.
Fair enough.
Because that's the only way for me we get Odunze personally. All right. So that's the starting point, and that probably costs me a fourth or a sixth, or it costs me something down the road. For me, I was always thinking, well, I can't remember, was it the Jets? It was 2, 4, 6 and something next year. That's what I was always in the back of my head. Well, if we're now going 8 to 9, it's probably 2 and 4, for argument's sake, or 2 and 6. I think at this stage, a second rounder, we've only got 3 picks in the first 75. I know 2 of them are in the first 10. We've only got 3 in the first 75. So we need to get something in the second round. I've seen people say that they give us the 2 third-rounders. You start with the 8 and 9 swap, and then you go with a second, and you try and hope that someone like Pittsburgh or someone like New England, somebody else gets involved in the conversation that allows you to go back to Atlanta and go, no, lads, this is the conversation across the board.
I agree with that. I think even if it was swapping the 8 for 9 and you're getting a second round pick as well, I think that would be enough. I think because they're going to see as the 8 and 9 is kind of big for the Atlanta Falcons, right? They're going to try and push back on that. But I think if you can do that, get a second round pick, you put yourself in a position to get a target for, whether it's Caleb Williams, Drake May, whoever you're going to pick, we think it'll be Caleb. But you also, as Ann said, please don't do that. But then at least you do then get to, you're not going from picking at 8 to waiting to number 75. I think that's really, really important. And honestly, I think that's kind of one of the keys here that has to happen. You can't have a stretch where you're picking 1 and 8 or 9, and then suddenly you're not involved in the draft until number 75, because you need to be able to surround your young quarterback that you're going to be picking here with talent.
Yeah.
And that needs to happen. So I think that's kind of the main thing that has to go here. So
Yeah. If you are swapping 8 and 9 round in terms of trade value on the old chart, it's only a difference of 50 points or whatever it is, you know. So it's like number 8 is 1400 and number 9 is 1350. So it's not really asking a lot to say, if you're giving me a second, let's just swap first as well.
I agree with you, but the only thing I'll say against that is they know that the wide receivers will probably be gone by 9. And I get the points is right, but if they're taking Justin Fields, they'll want to get another wide receiver for him. And if we're saying to them, well, you're not going to have that, lads, you just can, I don't know who you're going to get at 9, off you go. So I get your point about it only being close points, but I think it's a lot more than that for this trade if that was involved. What's a good value for you, Tony? Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think you're probably looking at a second and some change. I don't know if they'll go for the swap. You know, for the reasons that you've outlined, you know, obviously I've said the point difference there isn't a lot, but as you say, depending on how the draft board falls on the night, you might miss out on a player that you otherwise would really like to take, and especially if you're bringing in a new quarterback to the team. So I think you're probably looking at a second and some change, maybe like a fourth or something like that. I really genuinely don't think we'll get a first-round pick for him, you know, especially as high a first-round pick as the Falcons have. It's going to be a second at the most, I think.
If we're getting a first, it's the Steelers, and that's on a push. I agree with that. If we're getting the first, it's 20, which is the Steelers. That's the only logical move, and that's only if the Steelers are like desperate to outbid Atlanta or whoever they're trying to desperately outbid.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think you're not really going to get a first round pick if you're talking about Atlanta Falcons, who are also in the top 10. That's why I think the swap, everybody has said that. And then you might look, if that's kind of the first step and that has to be agreed, you could get a second and maybe like a fifth or a sixth in there. I guess it depends on what the market is for Justin Fields, right? Like if Atlanta is the only team that's aggressively going in, okay, well then you probably don't have a lot to go on. But let's say Atlanta are offering, and then suddenly the Pittsburgh Steelers do offer you a first round pick. Well, then it gets very interesting with Atlanta. I think that's where it kind of comes to. But look, what we're going to do here, the second part of this, right, is we've talked about the quarterback. We all think that Caleb Williams is likely going to be the Bears quarterback, and especially in this kind of mock off season. The second part of this then is one of the things that Ryan Poles mentioned was about Jalen Johnson. So the fact that he is likely going to be, he wants to get a deal done. And I think a lot of people that are around this team, a lot of the reporters think a deal will get done at some stage here. And I guess within looking at this, what was your opinion of hearing that? Because I think he was very outright that he wants Jalen to stay, that they're continuing talking and that they're not far away from things. And what do you think about that?
I'm torn on this one, if I'm honest, because you're putting money into Jalen, who has injury issues. Let's be honest, there is injury stuff there. So you're giving him to a 3-year, 4-year deal. Now I did see someone said something about Paul's mentioned about allowing him to go back on the free agency market later on in his career, which would make me think that it's not necessarily a 5-6 year or whatever length like the contract that would be. So it could be a 3-year. I think it's interesting. If he's doing that, it might mean that they have more money at free agency, that he moves the deal in some way, shape or form that allows him to get more money for free agency. Because if you give the franchise tag to Jalen Johnson, it's what, 20 million, 19, 20 million?
19.
That's
yeah.
19. So that's what, 25% of the cap we have left, which is still good, but it starts dwindling on that. If you can play with the numbers, maybe around a couple of other guys, that might be the reason behind it. Jalen Johnson's a very good player, had a fantastic season last year. It'll look good in the locker room to have him redone. It's a nice little thing for Ryan Poles to get done, because he had a bit of a history in his first year of messing up renewals of contracts. So this could be a nice little win for him as well, which he thinks he might need. So I get it. Great to have Jalen Johnson in the Bears for a while. It just worries me sometimes when a guy has one fantastic season and then we pay him a lot of money. I get both sides.
That's sort of where I'm at as well. It's that, you know, you had a fantastic year last year, but you know, it's the same with anything. You know, you just need, you almost sort of guarantee, well, you can't ever guarantee it, but you would like to see more evidence base to say that this is going to be continuing for the next couple of seasons. You know, whether or not you consider him the top cornerback in the league, I mean, I don't. I think he's up there. He's definitely in the top five corners in the league, absolutely. It's just a question of where do you pay him in that sort of scale, and he's obviously looking to be paid, you know, as a top guy, and the Bears don't want to pay him as that sort of top guy. They're looking a little bit lower. So I think, you know, in that comment there about, you know, trying to get a deal done and structured in a certain way that benefits both players. If he got like a 3-year deal, it means he comes out of that and he can hit free agency again and still make money again at that point. You know, if he has another 3 years of proving that he is one of the top corners in the league. So for me, I'd love to re-sign him. Absolutely. I'd rather not use the franchise tag if I could, just because of the cap implications. I would rather get him in the long term, so you can structure it in such a way that you can maybe move money into another year and all that kind of stuff. I think it gets done in the next sort of week or two. Well, it has to get done. When is the tag? Is it next week?
Yeah, next week I think it is.
Next Wednesday or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it has to, I think it gets done. Either way, I mean, they can always just tag him next week and then get him in a long term deal afterwards. You know, that could continue.
It did sound like they were getting it close, though. Paul seemed very confident. I say what they've done is they've come down on years, gone up a little bit on price, and come down on years to kind of meet in the middle somewhere.
Yeah,
I'd say so. I'd say it's probably the way they've structured the contract. It's going to look, I think, high in terms of the average salary, but it'll either be front-loaded or back-loaded. I think that's the way they'll do it, to kind of not be absolutely devastated on the cap for kind of one player. So I think that's the way it's going to go. And look, I think it might come up to next Wednesday and we all think he's going to get tagged, and then suddenly an announcement comes by and he gets extended. I think that's probably the likely solution. Or if he gets tagged, I think what they'll do is they'll announce that he's been tagged, but that they're still working towards getting an extension done. I think that's the way that'll work out. So look, what we're going to do is, before we let all the guys come on and have their kind of opinion on this, because we've invited we put it out on socials that if anybody wanted to come by and kind of give their opinion on stuff that's happening, that they can come join. But we're going to go through our key free agent targets first, and then we're going to kind of get some of the guys on. Ant, do you want to go first? You've mentioned this, and now can I get him right?
Right. So
can you get it right?
No.
Right. No, I can't. not a fucking hope of it. Not a chance.
Geno Smith as quarterback.
So no. First of all, Geno Smith is not a safety that plays for the Baltimore Ravens. I start with that, right?
No, he's not.
Geno Stone, however, is a very good safety that plays for the Baltimore Ravens, and I would be very interested in this guy. His jump last year was simply massive for me. 68 tackles, 9 deflections, 7 interceptions. He's a proper ball hawk. He's just 24. 100% they want to take everyone. Drew Locke, Geno Smith, everybody. I think Geno Stone for me starts straight away. Got it right twice. Geno Stone for me is a really, really good option. I think there's a you can get him for around $7 million according to Sportac for 3 years. It allows you to do that. It allows you to take a safety potentially in a draft at lower end of the draft. Try to see if you can get someone to work with those guys. And I think the biggest one for me was the tackles. 68 tackles. Eddie Jackson didn't tackle. So that's an upgrade straight away.
Okay.
Cool. Do I keep going or just one?
Are you doing all your
four? Do all one.
Brilliant. Second one, right? A.G. Espenza, right? Buffalo Bills edge rusher. For me, what I love about this kid is he doesn't cost that much money. The value of it is right. We've given Montez Sweat 20-odd million. If people think that we're going to give Danielle Hunter 21 million, you obviously don't know who our general manager is. He's never going to put 60 million into two edge rushers over the age of 28. He's just not going to do that. AJ Espinosa is 25. He's literally worked with Washington, the defensive coordinator, as recently as last year. He's got everything you could want in an edge rusher. He's very good against a run defense as well. He hasn't got a lot of snaps in Buffalo, but he's in a winning culture. I think that's really important to where we are at the moment. Get as many people who've got winning cultures as possible. He's only 25. You can get him for around $6.5 million, $7 million for 2 or 3 years. That's AJ Espinosa. Third one is Andrea James. I'm not against who Kieran's going to pick for center. I really haven't, but I just think Andrea James is going to give you that little bit more value for me. He's a hard-nosed guy. He's what Lucas Patrick should have been, only for me, a little bit better. Oh, I forgot to say about Espinosa as well. He was Illinois kid, as Bailey put out there. He's from Illinois. We know Ryan Pauls loves that. Andrea Jones is just a bit of a beast. Raiders fans want to keep him. They got rid of their Pro Bowler a couple of years back to keep this guy. So I think there's some there. Get him for around 9 million, 8, 9 million for 3 years. And the last one, Curtis Samuel. Why? Because I'm terrified we're going to miss out on the top three wide receivers. And I want to have somebody else that can catch the football, that is a guaranteed catching of the football guy, rather than having loads of guys in there. Curtis Samuel isn't sensational, but he will do his job at wide receiver three. He's also a good mate with DJ Moore. And yeah, I think they're my ones. You can get him for, again, around the 8 or 9 million. I don't think we're going to go massive on free agency, but they're my four. Done.
Yeah.
Didn't get a name wrong. Boom.
I'm proud of you, man.
I'm proud of myself.
Come so far. Right.
So just to piggyback on what you were saying there, because of you went one center, I went for another one. So I went for Lloyd Cushenberry, because I want to stop this whole thing of trying to get the best kind of valued guy, and then it doesn't work out, and we still don't have a center for the seventh year in a row. I just want to go get a guy that is young enough, that is building with this offensive line that we've got, in terms of having Darnell Wright, having Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins. I know Nate Davis is a bit of a question mark, but really, I think Lloyd Cushenberry, you put him in, he was one of the better centers in the league last year. And I don't mind if you'd have to pay a little bit of a price for it, because I think it's a position that just needs to get fixed. And I don't think the Bears are going to be in a position in the draft to get one of those top guys. So I'd rather spend the money on getting him. Now, my second option was, if we don't get it, we don't spend the money at center, and they decide, let's just go into the defense and let's get that edge rusher. I kind of looked at where were the Bears sniffing last year, and it was reported out there that the Bears were interested in trading for Danielle Hunter from the Minnesota Vikings. There has been reports this year already saying that they'll be interested in him when it comes to free agency. So if they do decide to have kind of a big fish type guy, I wouldn't be surprised if that was one. He would fit the defense really, really well. So that's one guy that I would kind of look at. Then the next one is, I'm going to go with kind of a guy that I don't think is going to get a lot of money, but again, where has he come from? Comes from Seattle, tight end Noah Fant. I think that's one that you're probably going to see here. We spoke about it on the show already, that in terms of Shane Waldron, he likes to have kind of two tight end sets all the time. He likes to do it. And Noah Fant was pretty decent for the Seattle Seahawks and comes in as free agent. It's probably going to be one of those like 1 year, $4 million deals. I think that's likely what you're going to get there. And then my other one is probably just, we've lost Eddie Jackson. We heard from Eberflus that they're going to try and replace him. And one guy that I do like that I think could fit quite well is Xavier McKinney from the Giants. I just think it would suit well with what we have in kind of Jaquan Brisker. I think that he's not going to break the bank, because there's going to be other guys in free agency that are going to make more money than he will. And I just think that he could be a good option there. And again, it all goes to who is that. I think they're going to spend money on one player, and there will be one kind of major contract that they'll give out, and then it'll be kind of second and third wave of free agency like we saw last year, like the Andrew Billings type signings. We're going to see more of those, but I do think we'll have probably one main signing. So for me, I was kind of deciding between Cushenberry, kind of Danielle Hunter, where are they going to go there? So one of those guys, and then probably Noah Fant and Xavier McKinney at a bit lower of that price range. So those are the guys that I think the Bears will target. And Tony?
Yeah, incidentally, for everyone watching, I got my list in after everybody else.
No.
Options here, right?
No.
You snooze, you fucking lose.
Yeah.
Some of us have.
We got our list in at 10 a.m. this morning, Tony.
I was working. There's some guys that both of you guys picked out there that I would probably prefer over the ones that I'm going to give you. However, say it though.
So would you pick the guy you're going to talk about, but then pick who you would have done that.
Aye. So I'll do that first. So in terms of safety, free safety, I looked at Antoine Winfield Jr., Tampa Bay, 25 years old. So he's at that kind of all the free agents I look at, I like to go look at 25, 26, 27, 28. Yep. Like that, if you're going to spend money on someone, I think you got to do it there. I'm not a big fan of spending money on anyone older than that, especially if it's a lot of money on a multi-year deal. So anyway, Winfield Jr., again, he's coming off as 3 interceptions last year, 122 tackles. I think he had 6 or 7 sacks as well. You know, you're looking at a guy who can come in and be a lot more productive than Eddie Jackson was, certainly in the last couple of seasons. He's going to cost you, obviously, and you're looking at about 18, 19 million a year for that sort of player. And, you know, the question has to be asked, you know, where do you want to invest your money? We do have a lot of money to spend, but if you're bringing a lot of these kind of top tier players in, then, you know, it's not going to be, you're not going to be able to have them all. McKinney is a guy that I would have preferred, to be honest with you, but he was taken. So Winfield absolutely is an option there. In terms of pass rush, and I was the same as you, I kind of looked at the options here and the money that we're spending on in Montez Sweat, and I do not think that we're going to invest the same level of money on the opposite end. I think what you're going to be looking at is for a kind of younger, up-and-coming guy who's maybe had one really good year in the last season versus, you know, consistently over the last couple of years. And you know, look at an option where you could spend a little bit less money. So I went for Jonathan Grenard from the Houston Texans. He's coming off a 12.5 sack season. In terms of his pass rush win rate, it's in the top kind of 5 in the league or something like that. So, you know, certainly from last season, you're probably looking at about 12, 13 million a year for that type of player, which might still be more than you think that Poles were looking to spend. But I think that sort of player would be an ideal fit in this defense and would look really good opposite of Montez Sweat. A couple of alternatives that I liked there as well that I was going to use, but I decided to go with him, for Bryce Huff from the Jets. Again, a guy that's going to cost you probably less than Grenard. Still coming off a double-digit sack season. Josh Uche from the New England Patriots as well. If I'm not pronouncing that correctly, I do apologize, Josh. Again, he'll probably cost you a wee bit less again. But last season, he only had a couple of sacks last season. 2022, though, 12 sacks that year. You know, so you're kind of like banking on the ability to replicate what he's done before, and you're paying less money because of it, and you're hoping, because the rest of your defensive line is at a good level, that he can just concentrate on what he needs to do as pure pass rush or whatever it is. So those were the sort of edge guys that I was looking at. I also looked at defensive line. You know, for all the guys that are there, you know, a lot of the younger guys were brought in, they've got a lot of trajectory of them is definitely upwards. They're going to look good. But a couple of guys I would look to bring in. I would love to bring in Justin Madubuike. I can't pronounce his surname.
So now we've now lost Josh and Justin from the show.
It's all right. He's getting franchise tagged anyway.
He's not being tagged yet. The likelihood is he will get tagged. He was my alternative. So because I didn't go with him, I went with Christian Wilkins. Now, he could be another tag candidate as well. However, it's not happened yet.
Jesus Christ, Tony. Pick a guy that's not going to get tagged.
This is how the war room is. Yeah, Kieran, like, I'm sorry, like, but, you know, this is the experience that I've got in this. Christian, I've had years of experience. I know what I'm talking about. No one else does.
You know ball. You know ball, Tony. You know ball.
Christian Wilkins, he could play your three tech role. He could be your three tech guy. Excellent interior pass rusher. You're going to spend on him. It's going to be $20 million a year, probably. But again, really, really good option. I've concentrated mostly on the sort of lines here. You know how I love the trenches. The last guy I looked at was Connor Williams from Miami. Obviously, he's coming off of that ACL tear from the season. But prior to that, he was going in the right direction in terms of being one of the top centers in the league. Because of the ACL tear as well, you're going to spend a little bit less on him. But that might be something that's off-putting. To be honest with you, I only picked him because all the other center options were taken that late. So... there's no respect on this show, by the way. Okay? I can't even listen to your speech.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you on certain things.
I need this to get through the fucking show, man. Jesus. Anyway, these were my They were my options.
I do like Uche. I think Uche is a decent show. I think Uche is someone that people have kind of missed a little bit because he didn't do well this year, but did really well, as you said, in 2022. So I think that's a decent show.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that kind of wraps up what we were saying in terms of, you spoke about the quarterback, the Jalen Johnson, some of the free agent targets we'd like to see the Bears go after. Look, we're going to get more rumors over the next kind of week or so, because we'll get to the franchise tag deadline and stuff like that. And then we kind of all would expect that nine, that the Bears would hope to get one of those wide receivers out in this Irish Bear Show mug. Thank you very much. Product placement right there. And very, very good. So we're going to let the lads come on. And look, really,
yes,
we are going, you guys can come in, talk about whatever you want, whether it's Justin Fields, Caleb Williams, free agents that you want to see the Bears go after, some of the rumors that have gone on. So I'm just going to do it in order of the way people have joined here. So again, we'll get you on and then kick you off when we want to go.
Get on, say your point and kick it off.
Ant gets to choose. You can choose when people get the boo. You let me know, all right? So, all right, cool. So you just have to appease the little bald fella in the middle. So we're going to start off with Rob here. So Rob, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Rob.
What's up, guys? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Good. Well, it should be easy to please Ant, because, you know, I too.
Yes, Rob. Rob stays on forever. Sorry, lads. Rob is here.
Also follically challenged.
I feel like there's two cue balls on the show with us.
That's why Ant's my favorite.
Rob stays on for longer.
Rob, I'm sorry, mate. You're going to have to go. You can't see that.
Go on, Rob. What's your point, my man? What's your one comment you want to make tonight, today, whatever day it is?
I mean, I guess, you know, it started off, you know, whether or not, you know, we should trade the number one pick or keep Fields. And really, you know, we've been talking about this to exhaustion, but, you know, I think the only point that really needs to be made, you know, that, you know, we keep going about, oh, what weapons does this guy have, or what weapons does this, you know, if we bring in Caleb Williams, what are we going to do? You know, it takes away from drafting a guy, or, you know, whatever we're going to do. But it all boils down to, like, winning games. And, you know, where was all of this with Mitch Trubisky? You know, I mean, he went to a Pro Bowl in 2018. His numbers collectively, you know, if we want to play the rushing yards and the passing yards game, you know, cumulative stats, Mitch, you know, even with just his passing yards, surpassed what Fields did in his best season. Mitch's worst year, well, that was his last year. We won't talk about that one. But in his three primary seasons as starter, his lowest quarterback rating was an 83, which is only 3 points off Fields' highest rating. And, you know, we ran Mitch right out of town, and justfully so. So it's like, if we had such a short leash with Mitch, you know, I don't understand why I understand why, you know, the reasons why we want to give Justin a chance is because he's such a good guy. He embodies everything that we love in a player. He's nice. He works his tail off. You know, he does all the things. He's in, you know, the community. And we badly just want him to succeed. You know, and I say that as a guy that I'm pro Caleb Williams. Okay. Or Drake May even. You know, if we want to trade down, cool. But, you know, as far as the choice of trading the pick or keeping Justin, you know, I'm in favor of, you know, going with the number one pick and the quarterback.
Rob.
I know, I just lost Ant's favor.
You were doing so well. I can't have you comparing Mitch Trubisky to Justin Fields, because you're not comparing like with like. You're not comparing what Mitch Trubisky had versus what Justin Fields had, which we've all accepted wasn't up to the standards that Mitch Trubisky got. Mitch Trubisky had a sensational defense that got on the ball. I keep getting told this all the time, how good defenses are. He had a sensational defense in it that got him into a playoff position. Justin Fields had, in his second year, a complete downturn of team, where the team absolutely was ripped to absolute shreds. And this year, or last year that he's gone past, is the year that you should be comparing Justin Fields to anybody else after that. That's just my opinion.
I'm going to come in on this, Ant, okay, right? Because I understand what Rob's talking about here. Like, okay,
I'm shocked.
Now listen, right? Okay, listen. Let's hold your wish for a second, right? So let's think about it like this, right? And for our viewers in the States, hold your wish. Shut your face, right? So for a second here, right? Let's think about it, right? So, absolutely. Mitch Trubisky had a better situation than Justin Fields in the first couple of years, right? You could probably argue in the third season of Justin Fields, there were more comparisons there. You'd have DJ Moore versus a terrible Allen Robinson versus, you know, there's give and take with the team, okay? So absolutely, I think it's justified in comparing the stats, okay? Now, I'm not saying that Mitch Trubisky is a better quarterback than Justin Fields, you know, not at all. But you have to hold them at the same standards, absolutely. So I completely agree with what you're saying. I think the thing with Justin Fields is he's got this sort of thing about him where Mitch Trubisky came from North Carolina Tar Heels. You've got Justin Fields coming out of Ohio State, you know, playing in that program, playing in big games, doing it for multiple years. So there's more of an expectation there, and there's more of a hope. Because he did do it in college for a couple of years, whereas Mitch only had one decent season as a starter, and it was at North Carolina. So there's differences there. So that's why I understand why Rob's making that point. You have to sort of look at it, and there's nothing wrong with comparing it at all. Definitely, like you have to look at that. But yeah, for me, I would always say that Justin Fields is a better quarterback, but he's not taking advantage of the situation. You look at Mitch Trubisky, and now you can say they had a fantastic defense, and they did. But they got to the playoffs twice, and it was a Pro Bowl, even if it was an alternate Pro Bowl selection. So, you know, you've got to just look at what's in front of you and make an assessment.
Rob, it's been brilliant having you on, my man. Great having ball people on the show. Keep coming, listen. Really appreciate it. As someone said to you, by the way, I got somebody said something there a second ago that I was meant to. Can Rob move out the way so we can all watch Top Gun?
I was trying to figure out what it was. I can't see the screen. There we go.
I love the helmets, my man. The helmets are class. So yeah, Rob, thank you so much for listening to the show, watching the show, getting involved. Hopefully we get you back on here pretty soon. Appreciate your time, my man.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Cheers, my man.
All right, next up. So here we go.
Poor man's been waiting way too long. Yo,
I know,
Dario. Poor man's been sitting there. Love his background as well.
I'm sitting in my pub. I own a pub up in northern Minnesota. So we are way up in Vikings territory. I'm the only Bears fan up here, and I just
fight everybody bastard. Off
every day.
give a shout out to your pub. What's your pub called?
So we own Arrowhead Lodge up in Cabotoga, Minnesota. We are 20 miles from the Canadian border.
Anyone nice. Up there, anyone that listens to the show around here, get up to that man's bar and start talking Bears. What do you have to say, my good man?
You three drink for free when you get up here, by the way.
Don't say that.
You will go out of business.
Oh, that was a mistake. Anyway, walk away, my man.
So, Bears v. Minnesota, what?
All right, so from Chicago originally, grew up watching the 85 Bears with my dad. He passed in 2022, so huge fan. Big fan of this show. Discovered you guys through Jeff, the Bears blog. He turned me on to you guys. I've been watching ever since. Real big fan of you guys, but as well. So
appreciate it.
So I am Team Fields, okay? And so that being said, whatever Poles does, I'm completely okay with. So, you know, there's this Fields cult, Caleb cult, whatever it is. I'm not there. I think that I don't get paid to make the money or to make the decision. He gets paid the money to make the decision. So whatever he does is fine. But if we think that he's not trying to trade this pick, we are blind as hell. When you play poker, you do not play the cards. You play the man. And every single talking head out there on ESPN or whatever it is are sitting there going, they need a quarterback. They should take a quarterback. They are playing the cards. I need a queen of spades. That'll make my royal flush or whatever it is. That's what they're doing. They are not listening to Poles. Poles yesterday was on the fence. I think he's open to anything. I think he is truly thinking that whatever the biggest pick that he's going to get is better. I think I don't think there's a quarterback better than Justin Fields at eight. So why are, if Atlanta really, really wants him, why aren't we going for eight? And I know you guys talked about swapping the pick earlier. I think he's worth eight alone. And if it's 20 at Pittsburgh, then that's what it's at. But I think he believes in Justin. Justin has the locker room. He had a conversation with Stacey Dales yesterday at the combine, and he used the word stability, which is the exact same word he used when he kept Flews. I think he wants to keep Justin. I think that he is still weighing his options. He talked about the comparison between Caleb and Mahomes. And I think that he used the word about artists and surgeons, right? I thought it was a great thing. I still see him thinking that an artist is pretty – I mean, there's surgeons out there, and he named some great ones. We named Brady, and he named the other one. I think that it's a bigger chance to take a chance on a artist. So, you know, I think that if you go back to the first press conference when he announced that he was keeping polls, he was said that my phone is open. I'm looking for the same thing I got last year. When you heard him at the combine yesterday, he was saying that that last year's trade has everything to do and it bettered our team. I think he's looking for it. But I think, and here's the issue. I think he learned his lesson last year. Last year he went into the combine, beat his chest a little bit, and says, "Picks for sale." And I don't think he wanted to move back to nine. I think he wanted to move back to like two or three. And I think this year he actually sits there and goes, "Hey, I'm taking a quarterback unless you could pry this pick out of my hands." And I think he's driving up the price at two or three. If you look at Houston last year, they dropped out at the last minute. They were supposed to get the pick. He was supposed to drop down to two. They dropped out at the last minute, and he goes to Carolina and gets the pick. I really think that he wants to go back to two or three. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the little thing that he wrote on the piece of paper, like in draft day, and he's Kevin Costner, and he says, MHJ or nothing, right? No matter what. I think that's what he's trying to do, and I really believe – that he is trying to get the best deal ever. Now, if he can get multiple firsts for Justin, I don't know if Justin's on the team next year, because I think he really likes the draft class, and I think they're there. But I think he is a smart man, and he's willing to do with what he knows versus what he doesn't. When he talks to Caleb, real quick, I got one more point to make, and then I'll open it up to you guys, if that's okay. Greg Gabriel, I think it was 1 month ago, it was right before they had the announcement that they're keeping Flews, he went on and he talked about how he is a consultant for the Bears, and the Bears called him and he had information on Caleb Williams. And he said it wasn't illegal or anything like that, but he said that there were some doubts out there, and he shared that information with the Bears. And I think that information really, when you heard when you heard Poles talk in his news conference, Poles said it's about the man. It's about the person. It's about the man. It's about the person. And he's never stopped saying that. It would surprise me more if they took Caleb Williams at first than it would if they traded both the first and Justin Fields. So that's my take.
Tony, come back to that.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is I think people will look at what's been said yesterday and they will make their own, they get their own takeaway from it. You know, people will hear what they want to hear. You're right. You know, there was nothing definitive really said. You know, there was no explicit thing said. You can only go with the tone, with some of the wording and sort of making an assumption at the back of that. And I think that's what people are doing. On either side, you know, people are looking at that and try to create a narrative out the back of it. So I'll say that first and foremost. You know, whether or not Poles is a smart guy, we'll find out. We'll find out soon. Because whether or not he takes Caleb Williams and it works out, or whether or not he sticks with Justin Fields and it works out, you know, we'll find out if he's a smart guy at that point. I don't think anything that's happened up until this point, we can definitively say that he's a smash home run general manager, because end of the day, until you get the quarterback right and you start winning games, having winning seasons, get to the playoffs, all that kind of thing, you can't say anyone's successful. I get what you're saying. Like, you're a Justin guy. I totally respect that. I don't think we're getting multiple firsts for Justin Fields. I don't think we'll even get a first for Justin Fields. I think we're overblowing what he is. He's an average passing quarterback who can run like hell. And when he does it, it's fantastic. It's a sight to behold. But it's not sustainable, unfortunately. And it'll eventually lead to him getting injured. And if you're going to invest in a quarterback, which is a lot of money, you're going to want to invest in one that's going to be kept upright. And if he's running out, you know, just, and look, Caleb Williams does that as well. He escapes the pocket, but he's not a running quarterback. He's a pocket passer who also is athletic. And Drake May is another great quarterback as well. Again, a guy who's not going to run anywhere, but excellent passer. So I think for me, the way I read it, you know, was very different to the way that you read it in terms of the interview. But that's it, man. We're all going to take things differently. And really, until it happens, no one really knows. You know, that's the thing. The proof will be in the pudding when the trades are made, because there will be a trade made, whether it's for the first pick, whether it's for Justin Fields. A trade's going to happen. Maybe both. Greg Gabriel says there's going to be both. Whether that happens or not, I don't know.
I don't think it's going to be both. I get your point, Tony. I don't think it's going to be both. I think for me, Dario, I get you, man. I'm a big Justin Fields fan. His jersey behind me, big fan. I think you got to remember as well, this is people's jobs on the line as well. So if Poles doesn't go with this quarterback that he has feeling on, and he's wrong, he's out of a job. That's just it. He's gone. There's no way.
He passed on CJ Stroud already.
No, don't get CJ Stroud. Sorry, man. Don't give CJ Stroud, because no one was picking CJ Stroud at one. No one. So everybody was.
I was last year, though.
That's because he's Ohio State.
There was still belief in Justin Fields last year because he could do it.
Yes.
That was different.
Yes.
The smart move was to trade back last year.
The reason why he's safe is because he got a haul for that pick. And if he does the same thing, I still think he's okay.
We'll see. Dario, my man, I'm getting up to that bar in Minnesota. Anyone that's within 20 miles of the border of Canada, get your ass over there. We got to get over there. Look, we got to get over there. It's free beer for us. So that's
if I get out there, you guys are each buying me a beer.
100%. I'll buy you whatever beer you want, my man.
I've just booked a flight while you were talking there, mate. So I'll be over shortly.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Cheers, man.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to go to... the next one is Justin, because I know he did join and then he lost connection and he came back.
I'm sorry, Justin, so, you're being traded, mate.
Tony's in for fun now with Justin Fields coming on the show.
Just so the lads know that are waiting in the background, it'll be Justin, then Andy, then Craig, then Ma. All right, so Justin, you're up.
Hey, guys.
How are you doing? That's a nice shirt, man.
I'm on Team Justin. I'm with Lewis Riddick, Greg Gabriel, CJ Stroud, Peter King, Olave Wilson, both Kyle
Take
Long
that, Tony.
I'm on. What?
Keep going, Justin. Keep going, man.
So I kind of feel. One thing is interesting is how Poles has got pretty much anybody thinking that they're going to do what they want the Poles to do, and everyone's completely just looking for any kind of direction of where they're going to go, and nobody really knows. But you know, Justin Fields, hasn't had a good offensive coordinator. Nagy, Getsy, I don't really feel he's had proper coaching. And I think the OC from Seattle, who turned Geno Smith from a has-been, a nobody, into a Pro Bowler, has been brought in to do that with Justin. I see Justin as Lamar Jackson. You know, when Lamar Jackson was going to be drafted, they're like, no, he's just going to be a running back. You know, he can't throw the ball. And his statistics are pretty comparable. And actually, I think he throws a better deep ball. You know, with Justin, he just passes the eye test. And I feel, you know, I'm on board with Peter King. You're like, why would you take a risk? You know, I think Caleb is a poor man's Justin Fields. He's slower. He holds the ball longer. He played in a lesser division. His team wasn't on board with him when he was when they went to their bowl game, and you know, when he couldn't beat University of Washington, he was crying on his mom's lap. Which, how is he?
Just I'm going to jump across you there, my man. Right, I'm going to jump across you there, right? Because I think Tony's going to explode. So before Tony explodes, I'm playing it out.
I think he's a poor man's Justin Fields, Caleb. So anyways, moving forward, I'm on board with, before even Peter King said it, why would you take, you know, everybody was on board with Mitch. Everybody across the board was like, Mitch is the number one guy. And everybody was wrong. So why take a 40% hit on losing with a number one quarterback when you can have eight different starters instead? I'm rolling with eight starters. I'm rolling with a new OC that took Geno Smith as a has-been, turned him into a Pro Bowler. And that makes the most sense. So
Justin, you've every right to have that thought process, my man. Yep. Every right. I'll come back to you in a couple of things. I've said it over and over again. I'm a massive Justin Fields fan. Caleb Williams is a very, very good player. He is probably a better talent coming out of college ball than Justin Fields was, my opinion. Right? And again, massive Justin Fields fan. I think looking at Caleb Williams, all 22, looking at some of the talent that he has, it's unquestionable what he can do with a football. He can turn things around. What I also will say on that, the crying in the mammy's thing, doesn't bother me. Absolutely doesn't bother me. I've no problem with that at all. With players getting emotional again. Sorry, man. Let me finish what I'm saying. The question around that I would have around what it's like to play in Chicago. Yeah, that's a fair one. Whether it's a difficult place to go and play ball at quarterback. But I think what you've got to take into consideration is where people who want Caleb Williams will say is that we've had 3 years of Justin Fields. We've had 3 years of seeing what he's going to be like. I would argue different to that. I might say only 1 year, but what I will even say, even if it's only 1 year, is last year there was big moments in big games that Justin unfortunately didn't perform the way we want a quarterback to perform on the field. He just didn't. Like, I always use the 47-6 stat. I always use it. In those three big games in the fourth quarter, I always use 47-6, which means in the fourth quarter, we lost three games where we could see the 47 points and only scored six. And I always talk about the 47 against the defense, but I also should talk about we only scored six in those three games in the fourth quarter to win those three games. If we score more than six, we win those three games and we're in the playoffs. Unfortunately, Justin Fields was the quarterback on all three of those games. So for me, that's where my brain is lying at the moment when it comes to the Justin and anything else going forward. That's just me. You could think completely different, my man. Absolutely no problem with anyone thinking completely. What do I know? I live in a shed.
Yeah. Boom. Done. Great. Thank you. Thank you for joining.
Thank you so much for coming on, man. Massively appreciate your help, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Love your shirt. Thank you. Love your shirt.
Okay, Tony,
did I good? Did I do good, Tony? Did I good? Did I do good?
Fucking, by the way, I'm surprised. Like, honestly,
that hurt. That hurt. That really hurt. Go on, next.
All right, next is Andy. So let's see. Here we go. Andy, welcome to the show, doing, Andy.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Not bad.
Doing good.
Jesus Christ, the lads have better backgrounds than any one of us. Oh, what do you have behind you?
I've been a Bears fan all my life. I have so much in this entire room. My wife is ready to leave me. Spend so much money on it. But I have rooted for this team.
Don't give up, man.
I just want to say I'm also follically challenged.
Yes, Andy!
I feel like this is a support group or something like that.
So, but I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. I have thoroughly enjoyed the Panthers trade. I still love reminding all of my Panther fans that are my friends and co-workers that I got your DJ Moore last year and I got your draft picks this year.
And I
told all of them I would have taken Stroud over Bryce Young as well.
Fair play.
With that being said, I think I believe in polls here. I am okay with whatever he does. I do think they are leaning towards moving Fields and probably drafting Williams. That's just my personal opinion. So I feel like if they were going to stick with Fields, they would come out and say right now, Fields is our guy. But I understand why they're not going to do that, because as the previous guest said, we're not going to show our hand if we're playing poker. But I do think they are probably leaning towards going with Caleb Williams. And it's a shame, because I think Justin Fields is a really good quarterback. I think he's a really good guy. I still think he can ascend pretty high yet. You give him a new offensive coordinator, a better offensive line, and some more weapons, I think he could ascend. But I understand why you would go with Caleb Williams, because he could be a generational guy. But there's no guarantee he's going to pan out. I just think Ryan Poles, he has to get this right. If he wants his job, he has to get this right. So if he believes in Fields and he sticks with Fields, he has to be right. And the same can be said if he goes with Williams, he has to be right on him as well. And that's,
I think you're spot on, Andy. I think that's the thing there. This is a pivotal decision.
Yes, it is. I agree.
For Poles, yeah. Because end of the day, if he gets this right, he's solidified himself in that job for a long, long time. If he gets it wrong, he's going the way of Ryan Pace. You know, I think there's a lot to be said for wanting your own quarterback as well. Obviously, Justin Fields wasn't his guy. He's effectively resetting the clock there as well, buying himself more time to build a team, get to the playoffs, get past the playoffs, and get to the big game sort of thing. So I think you're right. I think it's likely that that's the sort of course that's going to happen. Andy, I wanted to ask you, what do you think would be a sort of fair trade for Justin Fields? What would be fair compensation coming back?
I think we could maybe get a second round for him. I don't see us getting a first. Maybe a late first, like 25 through 32, but I don't see us getting much higher than that. Second round on back, I think, is fair for him.
Yeah, I would agree with that one, absolutely. And lastly, I know we haven't asked the last guys, but free agency is obviously a couple of weeks away. Is there any one player that you've got your eye on that you'd love to have on the team?
Chris Jones. I know we're not going to get him. I know he's going to be franchised. We're not going to get him. But Chris Jones, because I firmly believe you build in the trenches and work your way out. And Eberflus wants a game-wrecking three-technique guy. And maybe Dexter will ascend to that. But if I could take anybody, it would be Chris Jones or the defensive tackle from Baltimore. But I think both of them are going to be franchised. I think we have no shot at either of them. But that's who I would go for first.
I have the hard-hitting question for you today, Andy. If you were talking to Caleb Williams, would you tell him to go play darts or putt-putt with Eberflus and Ryan Poles?
I would Eberflus and Ryan Poles.
I would turn around straight away to you, and I'd turn around. Imagine having to play darts with Matt Eberflus. Imagine having to play darts with Matt Eberflus.
With that tremendous facial hair that he's got.
God!
I thought I was watching that Calvin Klein advert the other day. I've seen him up on the stage.
That's the first time we've mentioned Matt Eberflus's name.
Yes.
Only a franchise quarterback would hit a bullseye every time. Just saying.
Don't. Andy, thank you so much for coming on, my man. Thank you so much for listening to the show, getting involved. Really, really do appreciate it. I do keep doing God's work in Carolina and keep telling those Panther fans.
I do. I remind them all the time.
Cheers, my man. Have a great day.
Cheers, Andy.
Thank you for your time, guys.
Cheers.
See you.
Cheers, mate.
All right. We have two more to go through. Now we have Craig coming up here. Craig, hey, how are you doing, my friend? How are you doing?
Yeah, great, thank you. Really poor background compared to the other guys.
I was about to say, but look, I look
at your background.
Is that just what the pictures are used with, like, Bears players and, like, you know, is that family pictures you've got behind you?
Yeah, it's just family. It'd be amazing if my wife would let that, but I don't think it'll happen.
Yes, by the way, before we start with Craig, I totally agree with Bailey. I would throw tax at Eberflus. I wouldn't be getting a job. Sorry, Craig, talk away, my man. What do you want to talk about?
Well, funny enough, I found myself sort of nodding along to both Dario and Justin, because one, I do love Justin Fields. I've always been a Justin Fields guy. And I would love Marvin Harrison Jr. in Soldier Field next season, but I just don't see any way it could happen. You know, if we could get sort of to 1-3 and do that, I think that'd be fantastic. But I think it's impossible. And I think if I'm Ryan Poles, there's a kind of worst case scenario sort of lurking behind me, like a villain in a horror movie, that, you know, Caleb Williams, we draft him and he's a bust. Drake May goes number two and has a CJ Stroud style season. Justin Fields goes somewhere else and is the quarterback that we all think he can be. And I think if you're Ryan Poles and that happens, that's not just a lose your job moment, that could be a career killer, you know what I mean? So I don't think all those things will happen. And equally, there's a lot in there we can't control. So I think ultimately they will take Williams one and trade Fields away. I just think that makes too much sense for it not to be. And particularly when you look at Fields' sort of, you know, fourth quarter game on the line stats, you know, they're not good. And he goes from being a sort of an average quarterback at best to a probably bottom five, you know. So I think that's the way it's going to move, I think, unfortunately, you know. So I was thinking more tonight about the ninth pick, really, and what happens there.
Yep.
And I think there's a chance that one of those other two sort of, you know, elite wide receivers, Neighbors or Adunze, are still on the board there. And I think the key for that is where Brock Bowers goes. Because I think if Brock Bowers, if people see him as a top 10 pick rather than sort of he's being mocked around 15, isn't he, at the moment. If people see him as a top 10 pick, you know, I was thinking maybe the Chargers, for example, that might just shuffle the board enough to get one of those wide receivers to drop enough to get them to Chicago. If that doesn't happen, then I think that's when they have to say, well, what can we get for that ninth pick? Trade back down, you know, pick up some second or some day two picks. And the one for me would be Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. That sort of revolving door around the quarterback has just driven me mad for too long. And I think that's a plug and play, day one starter, you know, 10 years in that position. And, you know, he's the guy that has a lot of value in that sort of, you know, if we sort of drop down sort of late teens, early 20s, imagine he'd still be there at that point. And I think it's solved a lot of problems.
Can I ask you a question there, Craig, right? Jackson Powers Johnson looks a really, really good talent. Would you have any worries about having a rookie quarterback and a rookie center playing in what is potentially a dangerous year for the sect of that the Bears fans, Bears media, Bears players will see themselves as, yeah, do you know what? We could be winning 9-10 games this year, for example. Would you see the danger of having a rookie quarterback with a rookie center?
Yeah, I think it'd be sort of naive not to, but at the same time, I think it might be one of those things where they both fall the right place in the right time, and you've got to do that, you know. But I mean, having said that, you know, if you stay at nine and there isn't a wide receiver, you know, you've got Turner, Verse, Fashanu, possibly even, you know what I mean? Yeah. So there's lots of options to do that around the field. But if they do go down, I don't see a lot of value around that sort of 20 to 25. He stands out to me as probably the best prospect who's going to be available in that area. And again, I suppose then, you know, you're into what you do in free agency. I know you asked the last guys. I mean, I would like Hunter too. I'd like Madubuike, but I think they both get tagged.
I think that's how you pronounce it as well, because I think he made an arse of it the last game. Hold on, Craig.
Come on, Craig.
And then I don't know if I was listening to the Hogan Johns podcast on The Athletic today, and they said they mentioned Saquon Barkley in free agency, and they were like, yeah, would you take a punt?
Sorry, can I watch the two lads' reaction to that? Say that again. Yeah. Who would you take?
I'm not saying I would, but they mentioned Barkley in free agency. And I think they're...
Kieran, what do you think of taking a running back in free agency and paying all that money?
Fuck no.
Kieran?
There you go.
It was pretty left field to me as well. I've not heard it anywhere else.
If they're going to sign a running back that's in free agency, I'd rather them go after Jacobs. If they're really going to go for one, because I think he's good. He's just better. So... Yeah. Just going to put that out there. I still wouldn't pay a running back.
I don't think they should. But yeah. It's a new name that I'd not heard all offseason, which I thought was interesting.
It's an interesting one. No, Craig, thank you so much for waiting patiently while we went through everything and we just kept on talking like we always do. Appreciate your time, my man. Thank you so much. Love the hoodie as well, by the way.
Class hoodie.
Yeah,
it's better than class. Yeah. The class hoodie. No. Don't ever slag your family off. I live in a fucking shed. Come on, man. Dude, no matter what happens, you're better than me. Craig, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Massively appreciate your time, my man.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, mate.
God's up, brother.
And last but not least, and Mark, I think you had a conversation with him on Twitter recently, right?
How are you doing, brother?
Man, I'm doing, hey, guys, it's good to see you guys. It's been about a year since I've been on the show. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I love that hat, by the way. Listen, I know we're complimenting everybody on their attire, but that's a nice fucking hat.
I'm going to ask a question. Ma, do you have like 10 TVs behind you? Looks like there's like loads of televisions.
He's in the draft war room right now. He's got this.
That's exactly what it is. Draft war room. Listen, the TVs are a sore subject in the household. My wife. Let's just say she doesn't. This is in my basement man cave, and she does not come down here often. For the simple fact, she disputes this decision to have these TVs heavily. But I tell her, look, I tell her I've got to have the large TV for the Bears game, and then I've got to have the other two TVs so I can put four games on, or however many games are on the other two TVs with YouTube TV, and then I'm good to go. So here's the thing: I don't even play fantasy football. So there's no real reason that I need that many TVs. But
I'm insanely jealous, mate. To be honest, yeah. that's phenomenal. Like I need something like that. I need to ask permission to watch just the one television. Never mind.
I need permission to be in the shed. I mean, come on,
and I gotta ask you, what's going on with the shed? This is the first I'm hearing of the shed three times. Right. As I'm watching the show.
He's been locked in the shed.
So I started off in like the closet. I know that sounds a bit weird. Moved from there into the shed. So the shed is kind of like a little bit like home. It's kind of okay. There's bikes and there's stuff. It's basically where I don't wake up my two kids under the age of four when I'm doing the Irish Bear Show. That's pretty much the only job.
I have three kids, 11, 8, and I messed that up, 11, 9, and 6. I tell you what, I had to beg my wife, like, keep them upstairs. Don't let them run down the stairs when I'm on this show. It's been a year. I wanted to just, you know, have my time with you guys so I can completely understand the shed move. And that's really the reason why I probably have these three TVs, because she's like, hey, if I can get rid of my husband and he's downstairs, then he can have as many TVs as he needs. So,
love it.
But good to be on the
smart
show,
woman.
What do you want to talk about, my man?
Listen, so there's a couple different things. You know, number one, my thoughts on Fields, and I'll tell you what I want. I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. Number one, I'm a big Fields guy. You guys see me on Twitter. I'm for the longest, I was arguing the cause, and then I just got sick of it. It was like mental destruction going back and forth with the Caleb fans. I mean, I was getting aggravated. I'd get in bed at night with my wife and turn the TV on and tell her everything that I'm going through on Twitter. And she's like, you've got to stop. And she was right again. So here's the thing. So, yes, I do want Fields. And I'll just pinpoint on those reasons as to why. So, and some of them have been touched on. Some of them are obvious. We've heard them again and again. I can go back to who he is as a person. I do think that's interesting that we all know who he is as a person. I think it's interesting that Poles and Flus and Kevin Warren have continued to highlight that being the most important decision that they're making here is who the person is. Now, we can just throw that to the side. You know, I don't want to take it for more than what it is, but I think it's worth noting, right? The other thing is yes, who he is as a person, the locker room, that almost gets redundant at this point. We've heard it so much. Then I take a look at who are the players, who are the people making these decisions. And I look at Poles, right? And if anyone, Poles is the most discreet with his thoughts on Fields. He is complimentary. Week 17 pregame presser with Jeff Joniak on ESPN 1000. I don't know if you've checked in and listened to those, you know, the pregame shows, but he's highlighted. It's not necessarily what people are saying that I listen to. It's almost what they're not saying or what they're accidentally saying, right? And I think it's important that when Joniak asked him, I think it was week 17, may have been week 16, he said, hey, Aaron Rodgers, Daniel Jones. Karen Rodgers. There you go. Karen Rodgers. He went through a list of four or five quarterbacks and veterans, and he mentioned in reference to the fifth-year contract, and he said, when you're winning that fifth-year contract, the heavy salary, you know, it's obviously makes it difficult to think about that versus drafting a quarterback. And Poles agreed with him, talked briefly about the draft, and then the very last thing that he said was, I think it's important, though, also to note the development of that player and who you surround that player with in coaching and helping them with their development. I thought that was important because, and then the next week, he goes into, again, that verbal slip where he says, you know, I love the visual of seeing the fans chanting for Justin Fields, and then says, hey, you know, he's going to continue to grow with DJ Moore, and he's going to continue to grow as a Chicago Bear, just as Flus had said during the last game presser. So things like that. But going back to the decision makers, Poles is a little bit hard to read. right? He just is, okay? He's calculated, and I tell you what, I mean, that I couldn't ask for a better GM of our team because, you know, I just don't think he cares what any of us say or the media. But Flus, we have to talk about that, guys. Let's just all admit, Flus absolutely loves Fields. I think he does. I think it's clear. And again, I think that's reading somewhat in between the lines and the tea leaves, despite what he said yesterday in his presser about, you know, 2-minute drills, fourth quarter, et cetera. I think he loves Fields. Lastly, Kevin Warren, his interview 2 weeks ago. We knew Kevin Warren loved Fields going back 2 years ago, going back a year ago. You know, he said it and then he said it again. So I do take that into consideration, and I'll also take the McCaskies into the consideration. They've got to be saying to their team, to Poles, to Flus, et cetera, how many times are we going to reinvent the wheel? Going from Trubisky, first-round draft pick, now going to Fields. Obviously, they're excited about the fan base because the fan base has been excited about Fields. And now here we are. We're going to get rid of Fields and do this all over again. I think that weighs in here. So what do I want? I want Fields to stay. What do I think? I think the Bears don't know yet. And I think everybody thinks that they're going to go Caleb Williams. They're going to draft a QB. Yes, there's things that kind of threw me off a little bit in the pressers yesterday. And I'm sorry if I'm going on too long here, guys.
No, go, man.
I appreciate it. I think when they look at it, you know, there's a few things that were even said yesterday that make me really believe they do not know. And I think that they probably went to Kevin Warren in order to get his approval with the decision or the thought process here. I think Pulse does need to refer to him and going back to the McCaskies and said, hey, yeah, we don't know. You know, we want to give Fields a chance, but at the same time, we don't want to drop the ball on evaluating all things. Warren would sign off on that. There's no way he wouldn't agree. And I'm not saying that he has to agree, but I do think his opinion matters and the McCaskies too. So I think that was his way of saying, hey, let's explore everything. And then the last two things I'll say is this, you know, Flus said yesterday in one of his interviews, yes, I've met with Fields three times. I've met with Justin three times since the season ended. And we've discussed everything from the new coach, referring to Shane Waldron coming in, discussing Shane Waldron and having personal conversations. Why are you discussing Shane Waldron if you think that for surely you're moving on from Fields? If you know that that's the direction you're heading, why are you discussing that with Fields? And the last thing that I think is the most telling, in my opinion, is why have the Bears, unlike the Jets, why have they not allowed Fields to seek out his own trade with his agents? The Jets just did it today with Zach. Now I just lost his name.
Wilson.
Help me over here. Zach Wilson. Thank you. I don't like that guy. But anyway, have the Bears not done that? You know, why have the Bears not allowed him to seek out his own trade and at least to be able to explore that? And then, of course, the Bears, the ultimate decision makers on what they do. But yeah, it shows their hand, right? But at the same time, I think if you want to do right by Fields, you're allowing him to explore that with his agents in the background all the while.
The danger with doing that, man, the danger with doing that is suddenly you lose all value. So if you tell Justin Fields that you can go out and get a trade and he agrees with the Pittsburgh Steelers say, brilliant, there's a fifth. Mm-hmm. There you go. There's a fifth round pick. And you've just told Justin to go get you a trade. He's got a fifth and you're sitting there going, whoa, Justin Fields is worth a second, a fourth, whatever you think it is. So they're doing it right. I get your point around some of the points you've made. Some of them are valid in some scenarios. I disagree a little bit on the Kevin Warren thing. I think Kevin Warren, yeah, he's the boss, but I don't think Kevin Warren is getting involved in this decision because if he does, then it makes it, it muddies the water. I think this is a Ryan Poles decision.
But not to cut you off, but Kevin Warren literally said he was going to be involved. I mean, do we not take that? Do we not believe that? Or because he literally said three different times in his interview with Jared Payton is, hey, and he even said, I'm going to make sure that I'm there to challenge the thought process on keeping Justin Fields.
Yeah, challenging the thought process. Yes, he's going to be there. Flus is going to be there. They're all going to be there. But at the end of the day, the decision hopefully the decision comes down to Ryan Poles' decision. Because otherwise, yeah. Why is he the GM?
Of course.
He's got to be the guy that makes a GM. I talk too much. Tony,
I think you're right. I think Kevin Warren will absolutely be consulted. You know, talking, what do you think of this decision that I'm going to make? You know, it's like when you go to anybody else before you make a decision on anything in your life, you maybe take advice from your family member or your friend or whatever and say, what do you think of this? Really? Right. Okay, I'll take that on board. But end of the day, the decision's still got to be made by Ryan Poles. Anyway, I think you're right. I think the way in terms of the setup of the Bears, like a lot of things go through the McCaskies. You know, we've seen a few years ago when who was that guy they signed that was dodgy? It was the defensive end from San Francisco. McDonald or something was his name. I can't remember. Yeah. Anyway. They get sign off from the McCaskies on that, and then it went tits up. You know, so I think there's certain things that absolutely they'll get sign off on. I think with this though, you've got to absolutely just say, you know, Poles has got to be the ultimate decision maker. If he keeps Fields, it's on him. If he drafts Williams, it's on him. Whatever decision's made, he's got to take the good and the bad and with that sort of thing. But absolutely, I mean, he's got to also speak to people around about him and try and get a feel for what they think based off of their experiences. I think that absolutely happens. A couple of things, just come back to what you were saying as well, man. Like, I agree with you. I think they like Fields. I think they do like Justin Fields. I think they think he's a great guy. I think they think he's a great leader. I think they think he's a guy who has a lot of potential. But unfortunately, the way things have fallen, you know, the first year he was here was a shit show. The second year he was here, they were sort of rebuilding a bit again. And then last year, you know, they had a semi-decent team at that point, which you could try and see what was there. I think at this point, it's literally just a business decision whereby, well, there's not enough in that three-year span to say we can definitely hang our hat on you. And the fact they're not even hanging their hat on him tells you that. The fact that they're looking at all their options tells you that. And I think just the way that it's fallen, they've got this opportunity of having the number one overall pick. See, if they didn't have the one number one pick, I think they might go, well, you know what? It's a different conversation because they don't have the same opportunity to take Caleb Williams. So they might say, do you know what? We'll hang on for another year or whatever, see how it goes. I just think it's just the way the chips are falling and being smart from a business sense. Is everything sort of falling into place? I think the Bears do know what they're doing. And I think the only thing that stopped anything from happening up until now is wanting to have that face-to-face lengthy meeting with Caleb Williams, which is happening now. And then once that's happened, that'll solidify more of the decision. I think they think already they know what they want to do, in my opinion.
Yeah, so do you think – so obviously you think if they do draft a quarterback that it is Caleb Williams, is that right?
For me, you know, like that's the guy I like the best out of the options, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not the Bears agree with me doesn't matter. Like, but for me, I would go with Caleb Williams personally. Like,
yeah, I wanted your opinion.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah.
The only thing that I think would be interesting is if what Washington offer to move second to one, if Washington offers something insane. Now, when I'm talking insane, I'm talking first and second this year, first and second next year, and a second year after. I'm talking now mad stuff, off-the-wall stuff to go up there, Caleb Williams, which would then result in them probably not being a good team next year, and suddenly they get high picks. You have to consider that, considering Drake May is not a bad football player. But then it comes down to the question of, do you think that Caleb Williams or Justin Fields is better than Drake May, or do you think that by not taking that quarterback, not taking that big end guy, are you going to really hamper yourself that it's just having picks? These are the calls that are going to be made. I still think, based on yesterday's conversation, just my opinion, and this is just a note. I mean, I think he's already made a decision on Caleb Williams, and he's just making sure that tonight that he's not. Yeah. I think he has that. He's just making that call. Kieran, you were going to say something before I kept on talking.
Yeah, this is the thing that I've seen people say, potentially trade down to two and pick a quarterback. And that's where I don't understand that kind of thought process, because the whole reason why you would move on from Fields is you think there's somebody else that can be a franchise quarterback, right? Because that's what you're supposed to do here. And I'd understand it if you have the number one overall pick. We've looked into it because we made a great trade last year, and you just decide that you believe Caleb Williams has the potential to be that, and you don't think that Justin Fields is going to get to that level. Makes sense. If you're trading down and not getting the best quarterback that you deem the best in this draft class, I don't see the rationale behind it, because you could keep Justin Fields, trade down, and get even more draft capital. So when I see people saying you could trade down and get Drake May, I'm like, if they really love Drake May, then you take him at one, because you need to take the guy that you truly believe is the franchise guy. We all think that it's Caleb Williams, because that's what all the talk is. That's what all the rumors are. But realistically for me, if you were moving back with, even if it was moving back to two, I think you should only be doing that if you're keeping Justin Fields, because you have this opportunity to go and get your franchise guy. I get what you were saying, Ant, in terms of you can move down, look at all this, but really you have to look at this as, what's the most important thing going forward? Is it finding your franchise guy or taking another shot in the dark? If you take the second best quarterback in this draft class, it could be a shot in the dark. And you could then have that whole 50-50 chance that you moved back and you didn't pick your number one guy because somebody traded up and got him. And that's where I wouldn't want that to happen. If the Bears are going to move back from number one, I would then be pissed if they moved on from Justin Fields, because I don't see the benefit in doing that. If you're at number one and you just decide that Caleb Williams is kind of a guy that's coming out that is rare in terms of the kind of like the Andrew Luck, the Trevor Lawrence is coming out, where it was an obvious who was getting picked at number one, which just seems to be with Caleb Williams this year. As a fan looking at it, it makes sense to me, and it makes sense why you'd move on. But I think if you were going to move back and not get the best quarterback in the draft, I don't think it's wise to do that, because you could get more draft capital and actually keep Justin Fields then and build around him.
I totally agree with you, man. You trade back. The thing is, people have got this in their head, like this haul that's going to happen. There's not going to be a haul moving from one to two. It's not going to happen, right? And also, even if you are trading back for all these extra lotto tickets, end of the day, that's all they are. Because right now, you're looking at a situation where you're right. You've got the option to take any player in the whole draft right now. So if your evaluation is spot on and you have conviction in a person, take him at one. Yeah. If that's Caleb Williams, take him at one. If it's Drake May, you take him at one. If it's Jaden Daniels, you take him at one.
JJ McCarthy.
whoever it is, you just take him. Rather than saying, you know what? What we'll do is we'll trade back one spot, because Drake May will still be there. And we've got all these extra, he might not be there. And then you're up shit's creek at that point, and you've got all these extra picks, but you don't even know how the board's going to land at that point. And it's future picks as well. You have to live in the now. You have to look at the situation and go, if that's my guy, I'm at number one, and he's worthy of a number one pick, just take him. Like that, it should be that simple.
Mark, thank you so much for coming on, my man. We must get you on again when there's a game on, man, because I want to see those TVs in full action.
Absolutely, guys.
Appreciate you on. Massively appreciate you. And it can't be a year till you come back on, my man. Come back on anytime.
Yeah, it won't be a year. Right.
Sounds good, guys. Hey, it's great seeing you. Great talking to you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
That was class.
That was fun. That was something a little bit different, getting some of your guys' opinions on. And look, if people like that and they want us to keep doing it, we will have this at different points of the offseason, a little bit maybe after free agency hits and we find out who the Bears have gotten, before the draft again when things have kind of settled down, we'll get people on as well, because we know that, look, your guys' opinions matter, the Bears fans' opinions matter. It's not just us, it's not just the media members that we end up having on the show, it's actually you guys, because again, it is important to know what the opinion of the fans are, because that's what we all are. we're all fans. We all want, like, for all the division that's happened in the fan base, and like there's people that came on that said that they wanted Caleb Williams, people that came on that wanted Justin Fields. And at the end of the day, like, we all just want the best for the Bears. And whoever's at quarterback at the start of next year, we all are going to want them to be successful, because then that means our favorite team is successful and we don't have to watch more seasons of no playoff football, because that's what we all want.
Man. Can't say anything on that. This has been great crack. Love people getting on the show. Love interacting with different people. And what I loved about it is they're from all over the place. Chicago, and that's my big take on this all the time. It's why we did a show. Chicago Bears fans don't have to just come from Chicago. You can come from anywhere. And this is where it's the show for you. All these other podcasts.
Love that. I love that part of it, man. We're talking this a guy in Minnesota, as a guy in England. We're all over the place, man. That's amazing.
Brilliant.
Like I'm blown away by technology at the minute. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think like my dad.
Tony's Wi-Fi is working. Look at him.
Next week we're going to introduce Tony to AI.
Who's he?
No, it's in his class, and we are the show for anyone that wants to come on and talk. We are your show. Brilliant. Bailey is my new favorite contributor. Tony, how old are you? Brilliant. We're the show to come on. Make sure you come on to us. We let you want to have your take, whether we agree with you, whether we don't agree with you, whether you just want to have a rant, whether you think such and such person is right, or if, like most of the people that came on, have no hair, we're all for you.
We promise we will do more of these type of shows as well, so that
I thought you were going to promise that we shave our head or something for
that ain't happening. If anybody listening back to this wants to get involved in one of the future ones that we do, because there were a couple of people that knew they couldn't make the timing, and we'll figure that out for some people, because we like to hear from guys from all over, just kind of being able to come up with something about your favorite team, because that's why we started this. So we do appreciate everybody getting involved, everybody commenting, even on the video. We appreciate you guys. We see some of you guys every single week that are on it, and we really, really, of course it is. Like, we want people from Chicago on here as well. We want everyone.
Anywhere. You can come from anywhere, my man.
Except for if you're from Green Bay. Sorry, Scott, but that's better.
You got rid of Scott from the Irish Bear Show. We found out that he was from Green Bay. Good luck, Scott.
Well, not from, but lives. Nah. Anyway, I digress. Thank you for
everything. It's also bad if you're from there, but if you purposely go out your way to move there, Jesus Christ, that's trouble. I mean, come on, guys.
That's like being from Glasgow and supporting Rangers, isn't it, Tony?
Well, depends what half of Glasgow you're from, I suppose. But
we better move on fast.
Yeah, anyway, we appreciate all you guys in the comments. If you're listening back to this on YouTube, please do like the video. Please do subscribe. Same thing if you're listening to us over on Spotify. Please give us a 5-star review and try and get onto YouTube when we're live. Get your comments in, and maybe on one of these shows in the future, you'll be able to come on and kind of give you your thoughts as well. So thank you so much, and until next time, all we can say is bear down.
Bear down.
Bear down.